Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks very much for tuning in. This is episode 126 of The Normal Blokes, a podcast dedicated to improving the competitive 40K experience. My name's Liam, and I'm joined today by Luke. How are you, man?
Good, man. Great to hear from everybody.
I have actually partially lied to everyone listening. This is episode 125.2, like the second part. Is that right, Luke?
That's perfect.
Boom. So today, Luke and I are going to be doing a breakdown of a recent big team event here in Brisbane, Australia. We're going to be talking about the Gladiator Gaming Team Championships, where Luke and I and one of the other normal blokes, Sam Rubino, alongside two of our New South Welshman colleagues, Brody Middleton and Alexander Englezos, aka The Greek, were joined in a five-man team event here in Brisbane. And we're going to go through our rounds at that tournament, general approach to pairings, and then have a bit of a talk about some funny moments in our individual games throughout that event. Before we dive into that, Luke, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. It's good to talk about a team tournament. It was a really, really amazing tournament. It was held down in Loganholme at Fitzy's venue. And how many teams do we have, Liam? It was a huge event.
Gee, so there were a total, I'm just having a look at this because I've got BCP up so I can tell you if I, there were a grand total of 14 tables, so 28 teams. That sounds about right.
Yeah, it was huge. Let's have a look at the number of players. By the way, this can all be seen on the Best Coast Pairings app or BCP app. And it's under Gladiator Gaming's team events for anyone who wants to look at the lists and look at how all the teams did.
Absolutely. And, you know, before we dive into it too, one of the great things about this event from Gladiator Gaming, very, very proud of Brisbane's, or rather Toowoomba's own Joshua McGowan, who ran these events. Josh has really made a big commitment to 40K, not only in the fact that almost all of the terrain at these events is 100% provided by Josh himself. It's his personal terrain that he's put his own blood, sweat, tears, and sore back into making. And not only that, but, you know, he puts in the time to set up these venues and do a lot of work. Sure, there are people who help out. I understand Ben Warrior also spent a lot of time at this event setting up the terrain beforehand. But it really goes to show that, you know, one person can make such a big difference to a competitive 40K scene. Because to be able to provide 50 plus tables of terrain for a competitive team event, and by the way, it's all cut to the exact dimensions of the WTC competitive 40K terrain, means that not only does Brisbane, Queensland, and Australia have awesome competitive team 40K events, but it's terrain on the specific terrain that our Team Australia needs to get practice on. So it becomes increasingly valuable every time.
It also provides like really meaningful gameplay. So you know that every table you go to, there's going to be some form of interaction with the terrain that is actually valuable. So well done for Josh for doing all that hard work for us.
110%. So one of the exciting things about this event was that we had, you know, not just Queenslanders, which is an incredibly, you know, deep pool of competitive 40K players, but we had people from Victoria. We had people from New South Wales, and we have people from further abroad still who came to play in this team event here at Fitzy's in Loganholme. You know, just for some honourable mentions, we had a number of our Victorian colleagues and WTC members on the incredible team named the Chad Vic Toesman. I think that
gets fantastic
me every, name. Every time. It's actually such a good name. And then we had, what was the New South Wales team? Forky. Team Forky was the other New South Wales team, which came and kicked some absolute ass at this event. So before, diving into it, look, from my perspective, one of the great things about team events is that there's kind of that, you know, pre-game strategy part, right? You know, like the rating your pairings and doing the matchups. I know it's all data crunching and it's all Google Sheets or Excel bashing, but for me, I really, really love it. I love that preparation phase for team events. I think it builds that camaraderie, and I think it's an awesome part of Team 40K. Luke, you told me before we started recording, sorry to rat you out, that you weren't 100% confident in your pairings. So I'm sorry to rat you out, but let's have a bit of a chat about, no man, how did you approach looking at this? Because, you know, you've got like 100 lists to rate, right? How did you feel doing it all?
Well, look, I'll admit from the start, I didn't actually rate all the lists. My apologies, Liam. You found that out the hard way. Like I didn't do my matchup for all of them, but I did what I could in the time that I could. And look, I've been at I'm in and out of practice. I haven't played a lot of the new codexes. Don't really know how a lot of them played, but I kind of just stuck to my roots in how I understood, I guess, the basic mechanisms of the game, and I tried to basically look at how my list scores secondaries and interacts with their list versus their secondaries. And also, one of the important things I think in teams is to just try and rate the list and not the player, and just see how well your list compares or can deal with the matchup that's in front of you, and not to get overwhelmed with the player. So that's kind of what I try to do, is eliminate the name or the pilot, as much as they are respectable in a lot of these cases, like we saw at this tournament. But
Oh, 100%.
just rate the list and go back to the bare basics of how do you score primary, how do you score secondary against these lists.
I mean, when you're doing so many lists, especially when you're doing, a 40K event in your home state, it's pretty hard not to consider who's playing the armies. But I think one of the really cool things about especially this particular event was that not only are there a lot of good players here, but there were quite a few lists that, because the meta has changed quite a bit quite recently,
Oh,
and so
yeah.
I do remember having chats with like you and Sam and a few of the other guys that I know this person is good, but I don't quite understand their army. And that kind of discussion and repartee before a 40K event is a lot of fun, to be honest, kind of just like getting to know what things do. I mean, for this 40K event, we had some 40K players come out of the woodwork. Team Ethos brought some people who I haven't seen at 40K events in a long time, some absolute legends from the past, like Dan Savage and Stephen Wade, who were absolute regulars around about a year and a half ago, but have really been knuckling down, focusing on other aspects of real life, let's be realistic. And seeing them back at this event was just, it was just awesome. I was just really excited to see it.
Yeah, exactly. And we saw as well team Australia captain from last year, Eric, who was piloting that team as well. So it was great to see him out, getting the reps in with everybody and having a great time, having some great games.
Oh, 100%. I don't think Eric's ever gone away, Luke. I think Eric is a fixture in Australian 40K. He's Team Queensland captain this year as well. And fingers crossed, he'll be leading Team Queensland back to another back-to-back ATC victory. We're not biased at all here in Queensland. Good luck to everybody else. Good luck, everybody else. Anyway, that aside, I really wanted to have a deep dive and talk about our individual rounds, do some notable shout-outs to some of our funnest opponents, and go from there. Does that sound all right, Luke?
Yeah, it sounds good. And I think a good disclaimer at the start of this is thankfully to your piloting, Liam, and some good effort from our team, we were actually able to take the win on this 5-round team tournament against some of the toughest opponents in Australia. And obviously, it was a very tight competition with Eric's team coming second, the Chad Vic Toes men coming third, and some other notable players in from fourth to sixth. Like that top pod is just so stacked.
Oh, 100%. One of the things that's great about this these sort of team events, that one of the reasons I prefer them, one of the many reasons, sorry, that I prefer them over singles events, is that oftentimes at the end of team events, there's a couple of teams that are really, really close together. Whereas in singles events, you often get like one person who's like clearly won and clearly defined themselves as the winner. And I kind of like that neck and neck race style for these team events. It makes it exciting. You know what I mean? Like it keeps things entertaining the whole way through. And I'm super proud of our team going all the way and taking first place, especially as, Luke, I don't know if we've played a team event in a really long time. I've never played a team event with Anglezos, nor have I played a team event with Brody Middleton. And it's been a very long time since I've played a team event with Sam. I definitely have played one with Sam in the past. So it was really cool to build this kind of cohesive team that kicks some ass. I'm proud of you all.
Yeah, no, thank you. The last time we played was in ATC in 2018, 2019. It was a long time ago.
Oh, that feels like a long time ago, doesn't it? Jeez. So, without further ado, our team name, again, this team event was called the Gladiator Gaming. So, we lovingly called ourselves the Maximus Decimus Drink Beers With Us. was the name was our team name, which is very long and was pronounced differently by every person that we played. But that's fine. I'm not salty about that at all. That was Brody's construction. He did very well, I'm pretty sure. So to kickstart it, round one, it was our team versus the plus one low roller team. Now, just to put it in perspective, the low rollers are a club here in Brisbane. They're a relatively new club, but boy, are they huge. They have a big group of 40K players that play at Ace Comics in Annerley. They have an awesome group. The games are on a Thursday night. If you're a local, I'd really encourage you to go check them out. Costs you like $2 to go play games all night. And this club, the low rollers, I'm pretty sure they sent, what was it, 3 or 4 teams, Luke?
Yeah, there was like at least 3 teams. They're a huge club.
Yeah, and so we versed literally 2 of those teams throughout the event, which was pretty impressive, you know, and it's just so awesome to see such a big cohesive group of guys. I will also give Jack Tinning, one of the low rollers guys, a shout out. He had a low rollers shirt made for me with my name on the back being like, basically never heard of you on the back of the shirt. It's like, it's just like new phone isn't like new number. Who's this? Good meme. That's like funny. Honestly, 10 points for the meme. So round one, we versed the plus one low rollers team that had Luke Coyle playing Imperial Knights, Philip playing Votan, Matthew Martin on the GKs, Rhys Pianata playing the Astra Militarum, yuck, and Jaden playing Space Wolves. You will hear me make fun of everyone who plays Guard throughout this event, including Brody on our team. So I'm an equal opportunity hater of the Astra Militarum, don't worry. In this round, Luke, you played the Space Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, so before I tell you about Jaden's list, Jaden was an amazing amazing player to play against, by the way, playing a really cool Space Wolves list. But my list for the weekend that I ran at the tournament was...
I'm sorry, I didn't ask. We should have done that first.
That's
bad.
Okay. No, it's fine. You can talk about it next. Basically, everyone's going to hate me, but I'm playing Dark Angels. And actually, everybody verbalized that they did hate me at the tournament, so fair enough. But basically, we came up with like a really cool Dark Angels list idea with the help of Liam and the other guys from the team. And basically, it was Azrael, a Talon Master with the Relic to always hit on twos, then a Banner dude for -1 damage, and an Apothecary on bike with my Obsec aura, so he could zip around the field with giving Obsec to everybody, and he was also on a bigger base, so I could string out the Obsec a little bit further. I didn't upgrade the Apothecary either. I kept him as bare bones. And then I had 20 Deathwing Terminators, and look, I've been out of practice for a while, but I basically put the Cyclone Missile Launchers. I did 5 Storm Shields and Thunder Hammers, and 5 Storm Bolters with 2 Cyclones on some of the Storm Bolter guys, just so when they died, I could shoot the missiles and the Bolter if I needed to.
Respect it. Yeah, I respect it.
Yep. So that was my Termies. And then in my Fast Attack slot, I also had actually Ravenwing. I had 10 Ravenwing bikes, which I believe actually elites, not Fast Attack. And then in my Fast Attack slot, I had 2 Storm Speeder Thunderstrikes, the ones that have hit on twos with like 3 Laz Cannon shots, and then 3 Storm Speeder, Storm something something Vengeance, which are basically the Dark Angels. They're all some form of speeder. Dark Angels speeders with twin plasma cannons on them, basically, that can overcharge to 3 damage. So they were kind of very nice. And basically, the list played like this Terminator, 2 Terminator bricks that kind of held the midboard with a supporting wave of all this long range, very fast moving shooting. And then a big squad of bikes to be kind of like my skirmishes on objectives, threatening them and just being a little bit of a harassment unit. I kept them as a 10-man as well, just so if I wanted to in some games, I could pre-game move the 10-man bike unit and really put the pressure on if I needed to. But in most of my games, I actually combat squatted them and only pre-game moved one of them, which is why I kept Azrael on the list as well, because he gave me extra command points to be able to do all these tricks throughout the game. So that was my list, and I played Jaden, who basically played a Space Wolves list, a lot of MSU units with basically, I don't know, maybe like 30 melter guns in it. I probably lost count of them, but there's a whole bunch of melter guns, combi melters, las cannons, grav cannons, you know, a lot of the common things that you would see in a Space Wolves list nowadays, and also Skyclaws, which I have to say, Skyclaws are just amazing at the moment. They're so annoying. But yeah, basically, I can't even remember the mission, but again, I just basically push the Deathwing Terminators to the mid board, put the pressure on with minus one damage and whatnot with one squad, and had a second squad kind of closely behind. And then the speed is just really, honestly, carried in most of these games, just doing so much damage. But also the just the threat range of them and the alpha strike potential of the army with the bikes made a lot of my opponents deploy very cagily and very defensively. So then if they did go first, they were kind of in a poor spot. And then if they did come out in the open, I could always, in most terrain maps, I could always get angles where the Storm Speeders could actually shoot targets quite effectively and then be at such a distance away, because the range of them was basically 36 inches with, on average, like an 18-inch move, and I could advance them as well. Yeah, just really put the threat on. Like, always we were able to get shots on, and then the Terminators kind of deterred them from coming forward. So it was a mixture of, you know, forward pressure with the Terminators coming forward and backfield pressure with the long range shooting that forced my opponents into kind of awkward engagements. And yeah, that's basically how this mission played out.
I think, we've seen quite a lot of these hybrid Dark Angel armies do very well, because you have the speed, you have the obsec, you have the durability. It's kind of got there's very little not to like in Dark Angels at the moment, especially with the secondaries being what they are, right?
Yeah, exactly. Some of the secondaries are crazy. I mean, I still think the Space Marine secondaries were better than the Dark Angels one. In fact, I took the Dark Angels one in one game, and kind of regretted it anyway, so.
No, that's fair. And spoiler alert, Luke did very well at this 40K event. So clearly, Luke as a pilot and the Dark Angels obviously kicked some butt together. Without getting too distracted and talking about the pairings, I'll just super quickly talk about what I took. I took Obsec Necrons. Shock to anyone listening to this. I've never played that
Boring.
before. Look, we've been there before, except in the last points changes. Obviously, the balanced data slate took away the Obsec and Scout Dynasty. So you had to play Nicolac now, which is just all Obsec and ignore AP1 in your deployment zone, which is not a huge deal. And also, Ghost Arcs and Warriors went down in points, and I felt like I was the only person playing them anyway. So that was fine. So I just took four of those, four Ghost Arcs, four units of Warriors, a single Technomancer, 18 Wraiths, three units of six, and the Silent King. And that was 2,000 points on the nose. Would have made a few changes on that list in hindsight, but basically it's just an awful lot of Obsec, an awful lot of Transhuman, five up or four up Invo transports, and then Wraiths, which are I've said it on the podcast before and I'll say it again. I am a Wraith sexual. I absolutely love those models. I think they are the best unit in 40K. I have always said that. They are just so incredible. I will love Wraiths till the day I die.
They're
And
so
so,
good.
I annoyingly, and the thing that I would change is I would actually take slightly less raids because I found that six man units was just annoying with coherency. It was actually harder to play with six man units than five man units. I could take up less space. And so in hindsight, I'm actually going back to five man units purely because they oddly can spread out more. It's very counterintuitive, but that's just kind of how 40K is.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. So, segueing back to some marine on marine action, this is in some ways a bit of a fluffy game. We've got the Space Wolves versus the Dark Angels who've come to blows before. How did that game go, Luke?
It's pretty good. I just think, man, I hadn't played the Dark Angels Terminators before, and I was kind of still a bit cagey. I'm kind of a cagey player, and I played cagey with the Terminators, but then throughout all my games, I kept playing more and more risky with them, like kept throwing them a little bit further forward, seeing how much damage they could take. And in every single game, I never lost more than five Terminators, which is just, it says so much about how strong the unit is, because you can just end up tanking shooting with a storm shield and cover, and
It's pretty
Permatransium.
stupid,
It's
right?
just
Like,
ridiculous, man. It's just crazy. It shouldn't be in the game, but unfortunately it is, and that's the way it is. So, it's just such a bully unit. People, a lot of the time you have to, in my list it's awkward because you have to respect the shooting. So you try and kill the transports because they're doing so much damage to you. But then these Terminators just zone you out of the board so well. And the Terminators, what I found as well, in combat, just the damage is unreal. It's just incredible. Anything they got into combat with basically died straight away. Because I had Azrael who gave them full rerolls to hit. So, it was just kind of like I've got to shoot all the speeders, but all the speeders basically in all my matchups had a 4-up imbo because I would be advancing and be able to shoot. And it's very swingy when you have four melter guns. Like, I thought the Space Lizard might be able to do it with all the melter guns he had. But 4-up imbos are just so swingy, especially when you're shooting at something that's -1 to hit, and then you got to hit on fours, wound on threes, and then it's a 4-up imbo. Maybe one melter gun's getting through per squad, and then it's a D6 damage. And then you're in a spot where you probably get killed next turn. So it was just, it was just a hard matchup because it's so swingy. 4-up imbos are so swingy, and then the Terminators just kind of overrun you. But Jaden, I said this to Jaden at the table, and he took it really well. I said to him, "Man, I hope that you see this well, but you look like a Space Wolf, and you're playing Space Wolf, so this is awesome." And he's like, "Dude, that's the best compliment ever." But he does. He's an absolute chad of a guy. Really, really cool guy. Big unit with, orange Space Wolf hair. Yeah, it was a great game.
And honestly, he did look like a space wolf, right? Like a legendary appearance, the beard to match. It was
Yeah,
pretty cool.
that was amazing. His army was cool too.
Luke ended up playing Jaden. He's being a little modest here. He did get a big win and got a 20-0 win in that game against the Space Wolves. For the rest of our team, we had Sam. Sorry, we should have highlighted this as well. Sam was playing Dark Angels. Brody Middleton on our team was playing the filthy, disgusting Astra Militarum. And Alex Inglesos was playing his typical AdMech. So going back down our list in this round, Alex on AdMech, he got paired into Imperial Knights and did some scuttly skitari things and got a big 20-0 win in that game. Very, very proud of Alex. Brody ended up playing the Ymir Conglomerate, the Votann, and also got a big 20-0 win. Votann can be kind of hard for guard if they've got the really like a lot of the fast pressure units, but in this game, Brody did guard things and blew him up. Sam ended up playing against Reese, who was playing the guard, and got a 4-16. Now, big hats off here to Sam playing Drakari into Astra Militarum semi-sentinel spam and getting 4 points. I think he did really, really well. And I ended up playing Matthew Martin, who was playing Grey Knights. I haven't played Matthew before. This is a really, really tough game for Grey Knights because, especially without Armor of Contempt, a lot of my AP1, AP2 stuff is just really, really efficient into Grey Knights. And one of the things that Grey Knights really struggle with is that I think they rely quite a lot on their mortal wound output to, they pay a premium, right, for their models to be psykers. But because I've got, 56 wounds of my army in ghost arcs, I can kind of just shield against all the smites and stop him from dropping where he needs to go. So all in all, it's a pretty rough game. This is actually one of my first real trials of this army as Niklak, which is the dynasty that I'm playing. The way it works is you ignore AP1 in shooting if sorry you ignore AP1 shooting or melee if I'm wholly within my deployment zone. And I sort of was aware, but the Grey Knight silencers are all AP1. And so turn one, I was in the cover protocol for Krons. So I had this kind of funny moment where like four Dread Knights shot a Ghost Arc and did like one wound. Because like I'm taking a two up out in the open against the silencers, and then I'm transhuman against the Psi cannons, and I'm still taking four ups out in the open against the Psi cannons. So it's pretty rude in this particular matchup. Because a lot of his, pretty much all of his damage is inefficient into the profiles that I brought. So very, very proud of Maximus Decimus drink beers with us. It was a 84-16 win round one. And Luke, I'm going to keep segueing while we're here, because we went straight away, had a big lunch. Big shout out as well to Josh. Awesome idea for a 40K event. You order your lunch in advance and you get given a card by the venue. So then when you're ready for lunch, you just go and hand your card to someone and get your food. When you're feeding like 100 sweaty nerds, awesome way to go about delivering food. That was really, really well done. So, Luke, speeding into round two, we are playing our New South Wales colleagues in Team Forky. So just to run through what they brought, I would love to, but only one of them has a faction in BCP, according to the app that I'm using, which I think is bugging out. So I'm super sorry. So we had Richard Hill, Jack Lavacombi, Josh McMillan, Michael Duke, and Joshua Brody. I know Josh was playing Demons. Mm-hmm. Michael was playing GSC. Josh McMillan was on Astra Militarum. What was your opponent playing, Luke?
Tau?
Yep. And Jack Lavacombi, who is playing Sam. Damn it, it's not in BCP. That is super annoying. I'm so sorry, Jack. I do not know what you were playing that day. But Luke, you were playing Richard Hill. How'd that game go?
Yeah, so Richard was a great opponent. I don't think I've played Richard before, but we had a really, really good intent game. Like, we were both, I guess, pretty on the same level with how each other was playing, and we were pretty transparent. So the game was super clean. And honestly, I thought this matchup, I would go down in this one, or at least it would be like a 10-10. So Richard was playing Tau with, I think he had three Hammerheads, three Devilfish, across, and inside the Devilfish were Breacher teams. Then he had the crude, like two squads of Crude Hounds, two Commanders, one with all the reroll hits and one with like a mortal wound burst cannon thing. And then he had a big six-man crisis bomb with plasmas, cyclics, and stuff. That was really... That thing pumped out so much damage. It was so annoying. But anyway, the Hammerheads... I can't remember what Sept he was playing. I'm sorry, Richard. Oh, he's playing Farsight, I believe. So they get a free Mark Alight within 12.
Oh, yep.
Or melon and reroll ones, yeah. So I deployed very cagey, and our deployment zones were actually quite hard for me to be able to hide quite effectively, because my army actually has a big, big footprint. And I actually got to pick table on this one, and I picked a table with a bunch of forests. So there were five forests in total on this table, and basically if you were shooting anything, you were basically shooting at neg one hit, which is fine for my specific Dark Angels list, because everything basically advances anyway and gets a four up imbo, and I shoot at neg one. So if I'm shooting through a forest, I don't really care, because that benefits me in the whole trading thing.
Yeah, of course.
But my four up imbos were not very useful this game, because he had the three Hammerheads, and I ended up deploying pretty aggressive with one of my bike squads, because I thought if I do go first, I need something to be able to put a little bit of pressure on, because I wanted to stop his aerospace secondary with all of his, what are they called, breaches, because I know that Tau basically get your three aerospace points in your first turn, basically, so I wanted to at least pressure that if I went first, but... Richard actually went first, which was better for me. I actually preferred if it went first. But he then chose to do Montcar, I think, where you can redeploy three. Whichever one. He redeployed three units and redeployed the Hammerheads on the line. And then he moved and advanced the Hammerheads and got line of sight onto two of my speeders. But he was shooting it through forests. And he literally... hit with both, wounded with both, rolled the max damage, killed both speeders turn one. And I was like, oh, this is not going to go well from here. So that felt a bit rough, because I kind of banked on, you know, if you're hitting on fives, it won't be very likely. And then, you know, you got a wound. I don't know. I just thought it would be a lot harder for him to do that. But anyway, so in my first... So he did that, killed two speeders, did all of his aerospace, took the mid board, and screened out with his crude hounds. So then I kind of just thought, I'll try and, I guess, mitigate damage so my speeders can actually run out a little bit. So I knew I had to kill the Hammerheads, because most of his other things couldn't really kill my Terminators either. and it was going to be rough, like losing two Terminators a turn to each Hammerhead, because it basically obliterates one, and then the
The
mortal
mortal
wounds.
wounds take another one.
Exactly. So it was kind of annoying. So I knew I had to deal with that. So I kill one Hammerhead in the first turn, in return, and then killed the crew hounds. And thank God for the Codex Warfare secondary, because I actually ended up getting like 6 points in my first turn from just killing units with heavy weapons, which is a ridiculous secondary, by the way. And then I put some Ravenwing bikers on the middle objective, because he put a devilfish there, because I wanted to stop him from running away with primary. I knew I would lose the bikers, but I figured, if I want to keep this game at least close, I have to mitigate his primary while he's got the units, and eventually force his what's it called? His breaches out. So my goal basically in the game was kill all the breaches. That was my main goal. And then secondly was mitigate the damage from the Hammerheads. That was kind of my two primary goals that I wanted to achieve that game. So I killed a Hammerhead first turn, and I actually, because he got all these breaches out to do aerospace, I actually killed three breach units in the first turn as well.
Oof.
Yeah, so I overextended my bikes to be able to do this, but it was totally worth it for me. And I think Richard kind of said after the first turn as well, he said I didn't expect to lose all those breaches. But I guess, because you can also put Terminators into a Doctrine for one CP at the start of your command phase. So I put them in TAC Doctrine, and they were able to shoot all these AP1 shots at a 10-man squad of breaches and killed them. The bikes killed another squad, and my Talon Master killed another squad, because the Talon Master just obliterates infantry like crazy.
And were you running the one that like always hits on twos and ignores everything?
Yeah, exactly. And it's amazing. So you move and advance him, and he gets a 4-up invo, and he's in a forest, so he's never going to hit as well, and then he just still hits on two. It's so stupid.
Yeah, he's actually silly.
He's so silly. So if I made changes to this, I'd probably try and include more Talon Masters. There's a combat Talon Master that I actually quite like, but I think my list actually, in hindsight, was pretty, like, I'm pretty happy with how it functioned. There's not actually much I would really change. But yeah, basically I killed a lot of his breaches in the first turn, and then from there he kind of struggled to get primary, because I kind of just man mode the one squad of Terminators to try to make it hard for him to gain line of sight. Like if he gained line of sight out of it with the remaining Hammerheads, he would have to shoot them, but then in return get shot by my land speeders, because I was able to put my land speeders in positions where they could shoot other targets and not be threatened by the remaining Hammerheads. So yeah, kind of forced his Hammerheads out there, and then the next turn, I think he killed both my bike squads, and I think maybe like two Terminators, and then in return I killed both the remaining Hammerheads, and then I was able to really push the strength of the Terminator units in the midboard, and he ran out of infantry to be able to hold objectives. So it was basically like he just at the end started trying to get no prisoners. So he had his whole tower army set up on his backfield objective, just shooting everything at this 10-man Terminator squad that I had in the middle. And I think he got it down to like four models at one point, but then I obviously rezzed a model back. And that's kind of how the game played out from there. It was just trying to mitigate damage and kill the things that were going to score in points, really.
I mean, obviously, just having durable obsec is something that Tau really don't have in spades. And that kind of obsec problem as well is pretty reminiscent of what happened in my game. I played Josh Brody, who was playing Chaos Demons. Had a bit of a unique take to Chaos Demons. No greater demons, but three demon princes, with a variety of like the demon weapons and stuff, which is pretty cool because you can actually hide them behind stuff. The problem with this particular mission was, and the table we were playing on was, to be honest, none of the objectives were easy to hold from out of line of sight. And sure, demons have a 4-up to, shooting, but my army puts out like 160 shots of anti-infantry killing firepower with rerolls to hit from the king. And that's like before the raids and before the king and before other stuff. And I'm very, very efficient at killing infantry models. So I ended up focusing down his demonettes basically in my turn one, the first bit of my turn two, and after that there was really no obsec on the table. And when you're versing, double OBSEC Necron Warriors and stuff, even if you're killing them super efficiently, you're getting zeros for primary because, like, I have OBSEC and you don't. And so it just becomes a very, very, very one-sided game in terms of point scoring. The one thing that was super irritating was it's really hard to stop demons from scoring Reality Rebels because even though I've got lots of units, I have units inside transports, and that secondary works off number of units in a table quarter. So, like, he was kind of like artificially getting the same number of units as me in a quarter, and so I was scoring quite a lot of points from that game. In the end, the big swing was I actually ended up getting a unit of Wraiths to make a pretty sort of not a big charge, but a charge through a bit of a gap. Because they've got Wraith form and can move through models, and ended up killing like most of the Demon Princes in kind of one fell swoop, and that was a pretty big swing. Losing his Psykers and losing his main source of damage at that point was pretty rude. Also had a hilarious single Necron Warrior hold an objective against six Fiends of Chaos, because the rest of his squad ran the morale, and he just sat there and got me my 12 points, which was pretty funny. So that was a big 20-0 win to me against Josh Brody. Luke, you got a 14-6. Sam went down 7-13 to Jack. Alex got a 13-7 win against Josh McMillan, which is really good work. And Josh Brody got a 15-5 into Michael Duke playing the Genestealer Cults. Now, it's a very big day when you have to play three rounds in a day, but in the right at the end of day one, we have gone full circle and we are playing a low rollers team again.
Hell
This round,
yeah.
we are playing the Brisbane low rollers, very different from the plus one low rollers or the low rollers alpha, or whatever the other team was called. So on this team, we had Jack Tinning playing Dark Angels. We had Harry Harris on Orcs. Oh, this app is bugging out. I'm so sorry. We have
Yeah,
Douglas. We
mine
have
was too.
Douglas I Egan. I'm not sure what he was playing, sorry. James Hurran, who was your opponent, what was he playing, Luke?
James is playing. I think he's playing Custodes. Custodes with Imperial Knight support. That's it. Yep.
Yep. And then last but not least, we have Jacob Warne. In this round, Luke, you are versing James Hurran. How'd that game go?
It's good. So again, I think I was playing on the same bloody map. So what I found interesting in this tournament actually is that. A lot of my opponents, when they got to pick table against me, they picked the table with the five forests. So I actually played on that table, I think 4 out of 5 games. And it actually, that table actually really, I find, benefits me because a lot of the deployments I didn't have to actually deploy in the forests and I could kind of move around them. And I also had a Warlord trait on my banner carrier to give me plus one advance and charge rolls. So the Terminators actually could move, I guess, reasonably fast. For a Terminator chassis, that is. And then on top of that, my speeders don't care about the forest because that way I can advance, get my 4-up imbo, and I'm neg 1 to hit inherently. And it mitigates my damage, but also I think it keeps me alive way longer. So I think all in all, it's more beneficial towards me. And I was really able to use those forests quite well, I think, because I was able to take things like Oaths of Moment and stand in the middle with Terminators in cover with neg 1 to hit. And they still were able to shoot with full rerolls with Azrael. So that was something that kind of happened this game. And so just to summarize James's list here, he's basically playing, I don't know what branch of Custodes he's playing, but basically Trajan, set 3 squads of Sagittarum, 3 squads of Alaris Custodians, a Vexilla for minus one to hit, 2 squads of Venatari Custodes, 2 Caladius grav tanks and 2 Armagers with plus one to hit and wound against vehicles, I think it is. Hunters of Beasts. I think that's what it was. Couldn't really remember. But basically, I just kind of used the Terminators in this matchup because I knew that the Terminators really outperformed a lot of his infantry. And also, a lot of his shooting is AP2. And AP2 against Terminators in cover really doesn't do that much. Because I got a storm shield, so I'm at a 0-up save, so it's pretty annoying. And I basically just threw the Terminators forward, and he was quite fast moving, so he was able to get lines onto my speeders, and he actually ended up killing like two speeders in the first turn. And I was able to kill, I think, one Armiger in return, so I think I was doing the shooting battle quite poorly. But again, I just pushed those Terminators up the midboard through the guts basically, and kind of said, "All right, if you're trying to get lines on my units, you're gonna have to deal with these Terminators." And basically, I think I got lucky on a big charge to the midboard, and I think it was like an 8-inch charge or something with my plus one, and I ended up making it. And then it took, like, my Terminators were obsec, and they were just able to hold that middle of the board and really just secure, like, a threat zone around the midboard, which made it hard then for him to get the right angles with his shooting units onto my land speeders. And from there, I think the Terminators just carried the game, because he eventually realized he had to kind of try and do something about the Terminators. And he ended up shooting, I think, what was it, the Helverins into the Terminators. And then he, like, saw how little damage they did, and he said, "Well, I can't kill those Terminators." And I went, "Shit, I didn't expect them to be this durable, but I guess the way the game goes sometimes." So I think that game, I ended up just kind of doing really well on primary and reasonably well on secondary. I tried in this game, this was the first time I tried Liam, the Dark Angel secondary, the Stubborn Defiance.
Oh, yeah.
It was horrendous. Terrible. Because I don't have a forward deploy unit, so what I end up doing is scout moving the bikes onto the objective and having them in range strung out to the apothecary, who gives them obsec, and then basically the bikes and the apothecary have to stay there. I thought I'd try it this game and see how it went. And look, I was very disappointed, and I will never do it again. Because it basically, he ended up moving later on in the game. He killed like one bike out of the 5-man squad and moved the Armiger on the objective. And the Armiger counts as 5 obsec and took it off me. And I ended up only getting like 7 points for the objective, for that secondary. And I thought, yep, that's too easy to get rid of. So I will not be doing that again.
Well, Luke, that is actually an amazing segue, because at the end of that game, Luke, you got a big 17-3 win. But speaking of Dark Angels and speaking of Stubborn Defiance, I was versing Jack Tinning. Now, Jack had, I'm going to, you know, compare it to your list, Luke. I'd say it's a more extreme Deathwing army.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically all Terminators with a couple of Talon Masters and a unit of Black Knights too. But it's all Inner Circle or Ravenwing. It fulfills the first company detachment stuff, so all the Terminators just become obsec for free.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually pretty potent. And this was a really, really funny game. I've played Jack a couple of times. He's one of the low rollers. He's one of their organizers. He's an absolutely legendary dude. And Jack has a really forthright way of speaking, and I really appreciate that very much. Because Jack goes to me at the start and goes, "Oh yeah, like, you know what Dark Angels do, and like all my opponents, you know, you have a bit of a chat about like what your armies can do, so there's no gotchas or nothing like that, which is really good." And Jack goes to me like, "You know, man, like my army's really fast." He's 100, like, looking at me dead in the eyes. "My army's really, really fast." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, that seems like a lie. That like I'm not sure if I'm overstating, Jack, but I feel like that's not true." And he goes, yeah, because I move 5 and then I can heal a model, so I get like 4 inches extra movement with my apothecary, and then I can charge with +2. And I'm like, "Yeah, okay, like fair enough, but like what happens if I don't shoot you at all and just play the mission?" And he looks at me like I'm an alien. And just goes, "But you have to shoot me." "No, I don't. I don't think I will, actually. I think I'll wait till you get closer." And spoiler alert, that's exactly what happened. So, you know, Jack went first, very favorable for me. He took Stubborn Defiance, O's of the Moment, and I think he took couldn't take no prisoners. Sorry, I can't 100% remember what his, I think it was Banners. It was Banners. He moved into the center turn 1. That was his Stubborn Defiance, and I just, you know, yeeted 10 warriors on it. He killed him, so I put 10 more on. He killed him, so I put 10 more on. He killed them, so I put 10 more on. And I think he got 1 point for Stubborn Defiance in that game, which, you know, was a really easy secondary to counter. this is a really interesting game for me because it was kind of like stress testing like what the Dark Angel Terminators can do. So like you've got a 10-man Terminator unit fully buffed up with neg one damage and all the other crazy stuff. So I just charged one Ghost Arc into one side of the unit and then one Ghost Arc into the other side of the unit. And then like most of the models in the middle can't pile in either way because they're like equidistant to both. And then he gets like three Terminators to hit each Ghost Arc and does not very much damage. And then he's just kind of stuck there. And then the Warriors are like an inch behind the Ghost Arcs holding the objective. So I'm not killing him very much. Like I'm really not killing any of the army. It's so durable, Luke. Ghost Arc Angel Terminators are so durable.
So crazy.
But I was very fortunate that the Necron Nicolac armies have double OBSEC. And so you actually, even if the Terminators have OBSEC, you can very, very quickly out OBSEC them on the objectives. It was very, very funny. I took Assassinate in this game because my logic was I'm going to get those Talon Masters at some point. And I think it was actually Jack who like realized that he'd made a mistake. I think after turn one, he'd been super aggro to go get that Stubborn Defiance. And so Azrael, his chaplain, his apothecary, and his banner dude were sitting behind that Terminator unit, but they weren't really protected otherwise. And because raids with, Relentless March and the Sudden Storm Protocol move 14, my raids just kind of moved through his army and went to go kill the characters turn one, which is a bit grim. I actually didn't get them all, but I did get the chaplain and the apothecary. And then I felt like being a high level asshole at that point and kind of being like, that speed is now gone. That's that speed that didn't come up before.
You should have said.
Definitely won't now because, you know, both of those things that mattered before don't matter now. It was actually a bit of a fun game. I do think Jack, and I'm so sorry, mate, if you are listening to this, but Jack takes the Guinness records for the number of smokos taken during a 40K game. he's gone every turn, I swear. But that ended up being a big win to the Necrons 20-zip. Shout out to in our team, Brody, who got a big 20-zip win against the Orcs. Sam lost 3-17. Scoring some points there in a very, very hard game. And Alex and Glezos got a huge 20-0 win. So now we're at the pointy end of this tournament. We're going into the fourth round. At this point, I was being a bit of a loser. I had a big medical exam, and so I actually ran home immediately after the tournament to try and do some study that night. and so a bit antisocial, but coming back on the Sunday, we are playing Simon and the Four Idiots. So a team consisting of a group of powerhouse Queensland players. So the man himself, Simon, who is playing Eldari, Alex Terrison on Chaos Demons, mixing it up a little bit. Will Milton, who's taking a break from the Imperial Knights and was trying Orcs. Rory on the filthy Astra Militarum. And Nick Argent playing the Red Men themselves, the World Eaters. So, Luke, you ended up playing Will, and I hope not too much of a spoiler, but some brutal stuff happened in this game. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, no, this was a great game. It was probably one of the hardest. I thought the Orcs had really, really good secondaries to score against me, so I thought the matchup would be very difficult, and I definitely didn't rate it how it went. Will's a very, very, very good player as well. I've only played Will once before. And it was, you know, it was great to play him again. We have a clean game every time we play together. So Will's list was running, basically a bunch of Beast Snagger boys, in truck boys. I think that's what you call them. He was running Gaz. He was running, just trying to get the full list up here. He's running Gaz, who's running the boss on bike that has the 3 damage claw with, competitive edge, I think it is, where any failed wounds or whatever he gets to redo. He was running some Storm Boys, Zagstruck, and a battle wagon and a kill rig, and he was running, I think, 2 squads of Mega Knobs. And then I think a bunch of Gretchen to do objective secondaries and whatnot. So he was definitely running like a list that had a bunch of three damage fast moving units that could definitely put the hurt on this game. And it made me very cagey as to be able to, I guess, push the Terminators because I still wasn't familiar with how much damage they could actually take. And I was definitely concerned with like the three damage units with the War Boss, Skaz, and Zagstruck, and the Meganobs as well. So anyway, I actually ended up going first, and I really didn't want to go first. But again, like I think Will picked the table of all the forests. Wait, Liam, did I pick table? Did he pick table?
Oh man, it's too long ago. Don't quiz
Anyway,
me like
I'm
that.
gonna blame it on Will, all right? So I was playing on the forest again, and I basically went, okay, I think shock tactics because I figured he had a lot of like fast moving units that would kind of nuke me and take the objectives, so I wanted to try and get points there off trading objectives. I was a moment which was holding the middle one, and I can't remember the third one I took, but it was a good one. Oh yeah, of course, Codex Warfare. Because he had so many like MSU
I can't
units.
remember what it was, but it was good.
It's the best, honestly, probably the best secondary of the game. One of them. So he had a lot of small units, and I had a lot of Dakar, I guess, as orcs would call it. And so I was able to get those Codex Warfare. I think I even. Yeah, I won't spoil anything just yet. But anyway, I went first. I kind of wanted to go second because Will deployed very cagily. He put everything, like he hid everything. I couldn't get line of sight onto basically anything in the first turn, even with my really far movement with the land speeders. And I thought, well, if I'm going to try and like really reach and put things to get line of sight, I'm in kind of threat range of his truck boys if he calls a war and stuff like that. So what I decided to do was actually just play even more cagey and just put enough units on the objectives that I needed and put them far enough away so that if he gets out and goes on me, that was kind of like his, he would lose that unit and he may or may not actually kill the unit that was holding the objectives. And testing the waters again with the Terminator unit, I actually deployed one kind of far up towards the middle because I wanted to get oaths. And I saw how he was deploying. And it was very, very cagey, like I said, and I knew he was kind of far away, and I was measuring out how far his threat range was, and most of his three damage units couldn't actually get to the middle of the board charging through a forest reliably. So I decided in the deployment I'd put the one brick of Terminators right on the deployment line, and then in the first turn I just moved and advanced them all into Oz's moment range because I thought, well, if you're going to deploy really, really cagey and I can't touch you, I'm gonna like force your hand, force you to have to come out and play. Otherwise, I'm just gonna score too high on Oz a moment and stuff like that. And basically, that's what I did. But my shooting was really keeping him quite cagey. I think I killed a truck on the first turn, with some Ravenwing bikers to just force his hand a little bit more as well, and then did the. Fall back after fighting strat to knock back to the objective. And I was able to take a shock tactics 4 points there by killing commandos on an objective because the bike's actually pre-game moved and moved quite far. So yeah, I really just put the pressure on, scored a lot of points, made him think about do I come out now or do I set up for a turn? And unfortunately, I didn't give Will any really good entries. Because, like I said, the Terminators are too far away. So Will decided to set up for a turn, and he also wanted to wait for his deep striking units to come on because he had the kill rig in reserve. So he set up for a turn, and then my next turn, I got some shots on some things, scored a few points by killing like some MSU units, and then my units were a little bit more spread out. I tried to screen out his kill rigs coming in, and I just kind of secured my spots on the objectives a bit more firmly. And put my second squad of Terminators close to the first squad, just so that if he does commit, my second squad can come in quite easily. But they were definitely out of threat range of anything else. And there was a funny moment where I actually done goofed a little bit, because by moving my first squad of Terminators into the middle, at the start of the turn to get everybody in Oz a moment range, my banner was like half an inch out to give them minus one damage.
No.
And yeah, and Will goes to me, oh, so what buffs do your Terminators have in the middle this turn? And he knew full well that it didn't have minus one damage, but he was checking to see what I would say. And I smiled at him and I said, "Only rerolls to hit, man." And he was like, "Okay, I'm going to call the war this turn." And then he committed because all of his three damage stuff would actually kill Terminators. And unfortunately, he had 7 to 8 inch charges at best on 5 different units because of all the forests. And I only ever gave him, like, I tried to give him charges of 7 inch range, given the like advances and whatnot. And Will tried to make his charges, and unfortunately, I think he made two or three out of 5 charges. And he got Gascoigne.
Sucks. Oh my God.
I know, it's pretty rough. I will admit, it was kind of rough. But that's what happens. He's got rerolls, but it still is an 8. It still is a 7. Like, it's not always. I know the math says it's like 70% or whatever, or 80%, but sometimes, 20%, it happens. And so basically, Will got in with Gaz and the kill biker and a squad of Meganobs on my Terminators. And he got in on the other side into a squad of Blackwing Knights with Nobs with 2 damage. And he fought first with the Meganobs because I think he knew that if he fought with anything else, I was going to interrupt and kill the Meganobs. And the Meganobs completely flopped. They got like 1 or 2 wounds through, and I saved both. So that was bad. And then I interrupted with the Ravenwing Bikers. And because I'm only AP1, but I'm 2 damage and strength 5 with the bikers, and they were in Azrael's reroll 1's range, and I was charged this turn, so I actually get plus 1 to hit with not moving this turn. Cheeky Deathwing, sorry, cheeky Dark Angels thing. The Ravenwing bikes actually wiped the squad of Meganobs just outright, which was incredible. We were both very shocked at that, and that kind of swung the game from there. And then he fought with his boss. All in all, in the Terminators in the middle, he killed 5 of them. I fought back, and I didn't care about the Meganobs. I wanted to kill the boss on bike, so I fought back, killed the boss on bike. And then from there, it kind of got a little bit bad for Will because I had the next squad of Terminators in range. Everything was exposed in the open that didn't make the charge. My Land Speeders went to town. My Ravenwing Talonmaster went to town. And I think I got 10 points in a turn from Codex Warfare on the next turn. And then killed everything except Gaskell in the next turn. So I think it went downhill. Everything except, sorry, Gaskell and the kill rig. And I think from there it was kind of a bit downhill for Will, unfortunately. And it ended up being a 20-20-0 to me. Choice of good secondaries and a bit
And
of luck on my end. So it worked out really well.
yeah, look, I think it's really, really, it's still really, really impressive, man. Either way, Will is a very, very good player. I think there's some rough stuff there for the Orcs to make it a tough game, anyways.
Yeah.
That was a very, very big win. And thanks very much for that one in that round, Luke. That really helped.
Yeah, sorry. I wanted to go in depth on that one because it was a very interesting game, and I think a lot of
Yeah, no, it was.
expectations was the score to be, a lot tighter. But again, dice game, things go some ways. Will took it like a champ, though. He didn't get salty, so kudos to Will. Thanks for the great game, man.
No, Will's always a gentleman. So I ended up playing Nick Argent. Nick and I have played a couple of games recently, but mainly with his Chaos Knights. He was playing World Eaters at this event. Disclaimer, this is a rough game for World Eaters because they've got very little obsec, unless they spam the Khorne Berserkers. And even then, because they're a single phase army, just makes it really easy for like ghost arcs because they're freaking enormous to just block off whole sections of the table and just make the game literally impossible. I'm not being facetious there. A ghost arc sitting on an objective with 10 warriors sitting behind it is something that World Eaters, no matter how much they commit, physically can't shift because you have to kill the ghost arc first to get to the warriors. And so no matter how aggressive they are, it's really, really easy to just kind of shut out the primary of the World Eaters. That game kind of went as stated, very, very rough for the World Eaters. And I believe it was an 18-2 or a 19-1 to me, which it was an 18-2. We did have a very funny moment where a single squad of warriors failed to do Awakened Machineries, the Necron secondary, because Exalted Eightbound have an aura of 6 inches where on a 4 up they stop an enemy unit from doing actions. So like I was trying to get my 19-1 on my 20 zip and Nick was like, ha ha, and like rolling four ups. it was actually very, very good fun.
That's so cool.
Nick was a true gentleman, always good to play 40K against. He's always very funny to play. I had a very good time in that game. And this kind of brings, I'm sorry, I have been very rude, recapping the rest of the rounds for our team. Alex ended up playing Paul Gurney. And
wrong matchup. Simon. He played Simon.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You skipped around.
I have just gone to round five. I'm very excited. So Alex ended up playing Simon and got a 7-13 loss against Simon's Eldari. Brody and Alex Terrison, who is playing Demons, got a 10-10 draw, which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. Sam went into the Rory Argent Astra Militarum Sentinel Blender and got 2 points out of 20, which is still very, very good considering how oppressive the Sentinel Spam army is. So that was a 57-43 win to Maximus Decimus Drink Beers With Us. And we are now going into round five. So I feel like it's fate. I feel like it's meant to be. round five, we're playing Team Ethos. And I love playing against Eric. Eric is one of the, I think, the best people doing pairings in teams who's around. Mm. And I really enjoyed the challenge of doing pairings against Eric at this event. So Team Ethos consisted of Eric himself on Gene Steeler Cult, still the only bastard to get more battle points than me at this event. He got the 100 and I got the 98. Damn him. Damn him to hell.
That's your round four. You dropped 2 points, mate.
I did. And they were both against Nick Argent's Exalted Possessed. Blame them. The team also consisted of Paul Gurney on Iron Hands, Dan Savage on Demons, Nick Standing on the Adeptus Custodes, and Stephen Wade playing the Votan, and a pretty unique Votan speed list, which was really, really cool. Mm. Luke, you ended up playing Nick on the Custodes. Mm-hmm. Tell us how that one went.
Yeah, so this is my first time playing Nick, and Nick's a long-time 40K veteran and one of the good mates of Eric. And see him most weekends at Eric's. But never played him. So this was our first game together. And let me say, Nick is just an amazing opponent. He's such a nice guy. Always cheery. I think this was a bad matchup for him. I just had a lot of the damage. And my OBSEC units kind of out-OBSEC his units. And my shooting, I guess, is longer range, faster moving, has better invos against his Dreadnought list. Like he had, I think, 3 or 4 Dreadnoughts. So he had 4 Dreadnoughts, two Sword Champions, Trajan, and a bunch of other stuff. What did he have? Some Wardens, some Witch Seekers, Custodian Guards with Shields, Prosecutors, and a Shield Captain on Dawn Eagle Jet Bike. So basically I just kind of kept my distance. Again, I was playing on the terrain with -1 to hit in the forests. As much as Nick wants to tell you that he picked table, I actually did pick table this time. We got that confused, but we had a big debate over it. I picked table in this one because -1 to hit with custodes is always annoying. And I wanted to utilize my 4-up invo against all of his dreadnoughts shooting. This mission I did take Stubborn Defiance because it's the one you can move the objective. So I moved the objective so it was toe-touching my deployment zone. I deployed Terminators on the objective, kept them in the OBSEC aura, and they were able to get the Stubborn Defiance for the full 15 because he couldn't kill the Terminator units. And then again, I just put Terminators in the middle with O's of Moment and tried to kill the Dreadnoughts because they were the only things really that could kill my Terminators or my Speeders because my Speeders just had too much movement. I just kind of kept my distance like a bit of a pansy. I was very scared of his combat at first, but then when I got the Dreadnoughts down, I kind of pushed the Terminators up the midboard and was able to overwhelm him with Terminator bodies. And that mission was kind of good, I guess, for Nick in that mission because he was able to score a lot of points by still playing KG. And I actually ended up scoring, I think it was 16-4 to me. So Nick did really well to get the 4 points out of that matchup because I think it could have gotten a lot worse for him, but he played it really well, really cagey, and scored points where he could. So
yeah.
Thanks for the great game, Nick.
And you know, this was actually a really, really tight round. We ended up drawing this round overall. I ended up playing Dan. Dan is a veteran 40K player in the Queensland scene. He's had a bit of a break due to some life stuff, and has come back kicking on the Chaos Demons, which he's always been a fan of. We ended up playing a really weird game, and it was weird because I have played so much against Chaos Demons, and I've also played so much with Necrons. And because Dan is coming back to the game now, he's got a couple of reps on the Chaos Demons, but he's never really played Necrons against the Necrons how they are now, since Nephilim, since they got the crazy new secondaries and stuff like that. And so he went into our game, seeking some advice from his colleagues. And so, he asked Eric, what should he do against me? And Eric's like, oh, wrap the Ghost Arc, stop him getting out. But Ghost Arcs can just one CP act at full profile, and so just move 14 over him. It's not really possible. It's not really possible to wrap Ghost Arcs. It's basically impossible. And so the fundamentals there of the plan, was not particularly great. But the other thing that was quite particularly rough is almost every single Ghost Arc that could survive on like one wound did every single time. Like he
Damn.
hits me down to one wound, hits me down to two wounds, hits me down to two wounds, like just over and over again. He just couldn't quite kill them. And so it was really, really frustrating for him to get through my stuff. Similar to my game earlier in the tournament against Josh Brody, I focused down the Demonettes. Dan had 60 of the buggers, but still, 160 shots of anti-infantry firepower and then raids and stuff gets through them pretty fast. And I kind of ignored the other stuff, focusing down the obsec. So after that, any one of my units can hold an objective against any one of his. And it was very, very brutal from a primary perspective. One of the very sort of weird and funny moments from this game was his Bloodthirster hit a Ghost Arc and did zero damage, which is pretty funny. Just through the transhuman, couldn't end up wounding me. But then 10 Demonettes went into a Ghost Arc and did 13 wounds, which just felt wrong. It just
Oh
felt
no.
fundamentally very wrong. It was very weird. So overall, that was a big win to me. It was a 20 zip win to the Necrons. And to highlight the rest of the round, Alex went down 7-13 to Paul Gurney playing Iron Hands. Sam lost 20 zip to Eric playing GSC. Incredibly rough game for Sam there. And Brody got a 10-10 draw against Steve Wade. Two 10-10 draws for Brody throughout that event. And that was a wrap for the whole event. And overall, very, very proud of our team for the Gladiator Gaming event, getting the big W, coming in first. And then my understanding was for the rest of the podium, we had the Chad Vic Toes, sorry, we had Ethos, and then the Chad Vic Toesman, with a was runner up Simon and the Four Idiots.
Yes.
Yeah. So again, very, very good showing, not just from the Queensland locals, but from the Interstate boys too, and a big, big smattering of the WTC players in the first, second, third, and fourth spread there, which I'm of course very, very proud of. Sorry for bringing the Team Australia stuff to the Normal Blokes podcast. I'm wearing a couple of hats at the moment.
That's good.
and look, I think it was an awesome event. I think it went really, really well. I even managed to get some study done after the event, after I ran away.
Don't worry, I was
and
in the same boat. I had to run away too, unfortunately. Both Liam and I had to run because we had exams over the weekend, so or the next weekend, so.
yeah, look, we were both studying for exams, and yeah, and look, I never like to do it, but everyone's like, oh man, do you want to go out for dinner? Do you want to like, oh, let's all go out and have a drink? And I'm like, no, I have to go home and study.
Yeah.
I am very lame today, but I have an exam next week. I really have to go.
Felt bad, but you make do with what you can. I want to shout out to the Ethos team though, because both Ethos and our team both went undefeated, so Ethos didn't drop a game. So congrats to them as well. So it's very, very tight.
Got three draws. I have never seen a team event before where someone goes win, win, draw, draw, draw. I have never seen that happen before. That is pretty impressive.
They did. Unfortunately, they got the a lot of the matchups against. They played Simon and the Four Idiots, and they played the Chad Vic Toesman like game after game, and then
Yeah, which was
us.
very rough.
So three like heavy, heavy rounds. So that was obviously they did very well to be able to pump through all that and still, come through second.
Well, Luke, I might draw this lovely podcast to a close. So for everyone listening, if you like what you're listening to, please check us out wherever you get your podcasts. We are going to be having much more regular content coming out in 2023. Other than that, love you all.